drops of thy lovers, and weep for thy death. Therefore, rouse up fear and trembling, and do observance my mercy. That is a little bit of Shakespeare forgiveness, a little passage, one of my favorites from a play that I'm not going to name right now because it's not necessary. What it has to do today, Nicholas, I have an apology to make. I feel really bad. Do you know why? Do you have any idea why I might feel this bad about myself?
I know it has to do with hockey, right?
Yeah, so last week I hosted this show and I made some vicious attacks on the women's varsity hockey team. They were aggressive. I called out their 0-10, 0-9 record. I think it was 0-10, but near here nor there. They won their first game. So congratulations to the women's varsity hockey team. You won 3-0 against Ontario Tech. Give me a little round of applause. All right, there we go. Goal scored by, I don't even know how to say their name. I don't follow them too closely. But that's not because they're 0-10. They're now 1-10. But goal scored by Kylie Laberte and 2 by Haley Szymanowski. So that's good for you guys. Like, way to put some goals up on the board. But kind of along this way, I've lost myself a little bit. I feel really bad. I know I was at study hall the other day and I was making jabs at the team. So I feel really bad. Congratulations, girls. You won your first game. And I'm so happy that everyone is back on track. We're at a one-game win streak, so let's go, girls. Nick?
I mean, I wasn't here for the attacks, as you say. But, I mean, it had to work for something, right? I mean, it's called tough love. We were bad at them, or I don't know, you could say you attacked them, but... I believe they wanted you to shut up, so they won their first game. You know, it's what you deserved.
Are you saying that I should take partial, if not full, credit for their victory on
maybe
Ontario
maybe
Tech?
Who knows?
So now that we got that out of the way, well, let me stick on the hockey train for a second because I have a couple beefs with hockey. I am color commentating the York versus Laurier men's game tonight. Should be a very special game with my attendance present. That sounded egotistical, but it's true. So I got two beefs with hockey right now. Okay. Do you know how in hockey they do the three stars of the game?
Yes.
So after every game, you have the first star, the second star, the third star. Why is the third star, or the guy who gets three stars? Because they put it up on the Jumbotron. If you're at an OHL game or any kind of hockey game, you see three stars up on the board, and then you see... Owen Smith. You see Owen Smith up. He gets three stars. Now, why does his performance, who is the third best performer of the game, get three stars? Does that make sense to anyone? Like, and if you're the first star of the game, if your name is Connor Gannett and you are the first star of the game, you get one star. So it doesn't make sense to me. Do you understand that, or do you think that's just the way hockey does things and that's how it is?
You play golf, so I gotta say, I recently, I believe it was Malcolm in the Middle, where they were playing, I believe it was miniature golf or something, and the dad thought he won because he had more points. And Malcolm said, no, the point of golf is to have the less amount of points as possible. So it's kind of confusing. Like, you play golf, so...
We're talking hockey, though.
Yeah, but you're attacking hockey, so I want to attack you a little bit as well. Like, golf can be as confusing as well. And I mean, and yeah, what you're saying makes sense. It's weird that the player that with three stars is actually the worst out of the players who have stars.
Agreed.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah, it is confusing. But at the same time, if you play golf and you see someone has -2, and you see someone has 10, who do you think is winning? The one who has a -2 or the one who has a 10?
I feel like if you have a brain, you think it's -2. But I will not go there. Okay. Second beef. We can agree to disagree on that one. I mean, that one's a little bit. I don't even think you really disagreed with me. You just attack something that I love, which is fine. I mean, I guess if we're going there, the way they cite goals. So if I score a goal at the 10-minute mark, mm-hmm. in the second period, it says second period 10 dot like colon 00, which makes sense. Okay, if I score a goal in the at the nine, like with 9 minutes on the scoreboard, it says second period 11 minutes. So it's almost counting down the minutes instead of just saying, like, it just makes it so complicated. Like, if I score at 17:37, you have to, in your mind, subtract 20 from 17:37 and then try to get, like, a 2 minutes and what is it? I can't even do it. 2 minutes and 13 seconds, is that it? 2 minutes and 23 seconds. So why isn't it, I'll call myself a casual hockey fan. Am I forced to do this complicated mathematics for their goals? Like, I just want to see what time they scored at. Why is that so hard?
That's there. I have to agree with you 100%.
Does soccer do the same thing?
It's no. It's soccer. You have, I mean, it's two periods, 45 minutes. If you score in minute 33, they're gonna say the goal was scored in minute 33. And if you score in the minute 67, it's gonna say minute 67. But It doesn't go backwards. Like, it's like when you're watching a YouTube video, you want to go from 0 to 1 minute 30, and you don't want to go like those that, I don't know if you ever saw those videos that were backwards, that went backwards, and you weren't from 0 to like the 2 minute mark. You went from 2 down to 0, so you had to see where it was that you had to go in the video.
It'd be like if I sent you a YouTube link for the goal he scored. Let's say my buddy Justin Bierman in Fairbanks, Alaska scores a goal, and I send you a goal for 256, you'd expect it to go to the 256 mark in whatever period that I specified. But no, it goes to
4 seconds if it's backwards.
It'd go to 20 minutes minus 256, which is on the top of my head is 1704. That was some quick math for the kids at home. So I'm just done with that. Like, it makes no sense to me. Will I bring it up on the broadcast tonight? Very unlikely, because I don't want to be shunned from a sport that I'm kind of integrating myself in. It's been a long time since I've been in the hockey world, but I'm excited to get back there tonight.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't been to a hockey game actually in a very, very long time.
Yeah, so they're playing York tonight. They lost, I think it was 3-1 or 4-1 last time. But I'm expecting good things. They're on a bit of a rip right now. They've won, I think, 5 or 6 in a row, maybe one loss in there, but they're on a good little streak, so hopefully they can get the job done tonight. We'll see. Let's touch on some basketball before we go down an absolute rabbit hole in the World Cup. I had the privilege and honor of calling the Queen's Laurier women's basketball game last Friday night. I have written down here, I have Cassie Buckets Hurdle. I mean, that's what she is. She hit 5 threes in the first quarter, had 16 or 17 points in the first quarter, ended the game with 31. The girls gave Queens a hell of a run. Like, it was actually a great game. It was really fun to watch. But now they're up. They're playing in Nipissing, which is in North Bay. Do you know where North Bay is?
No.
I did some geography research. Shockingly, North Bay is just east of Sudbury. The Sudbury's probably, 4 hours from here?
Mm-hmm.
About 4 hours. So I thought Nipissing was, I thought we were almost at Nunavut when we were talking about North Bay, but it's actually not that far. And then they go over to Laurentian to take them on tomorrow night. So we'll see if we can end the semester off with a little two-game run there. Actually, three-game run, because they did beat Ontario Tech last Saturday. And then, of course, the men with the same schedule. The men also had a tough loss against Queens. I watched that one. Had the whole golf team out, so that was pretty fun. But the men just threw that game away. I don't know if you were there.
No, I wasn't.
They were probably up in the fourth quarter, up 10 at one point. And I'm from Kingston, so a couple of the guys I know from back home, the one kid, I don't know him that well, but he carried and just like somehow willed the Gales to win, which was so annoying because I wanted to brag to my buddies at home. Pretty diverse. Like, we have a pretty diverse roster. Like, we have Justin Malarich, who's a pretty pure shooter. Tay Donald, who's like kind of a combo guard, can create for himself a lot, averaging about 13 a game. Ethan Passley, who's kind of our star guard, shifty as hell. This guy's the fastest guy I've ever seen in my life. Jemiah Brown, Majok Dang, Ben Stevens, all good players, all kind of unique in their own role. And finally, do we want to get in the World Cup now?
Whatever you want. I know you have one more comment. We can do it at the end or we can do it right now.
Let's get through everything and then I want to just geek out with you. So men's rugby, they're at nationals right now in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting stuff. Sounds like they're playing in some pretty harsh conditions. I know that OUA final was a blizzard. Now they're out in BC. I know they lost a close one and then didn't get blown out, I won't say, because rugby's kind of a weird scoring system, but lost, 24-23? 23-22, basically the same thing. And then 36-12 loss, which is tough. But they do play again on Sunday, so probably pretty unbelievable experience for the guys traveling all the way out to BC. Can't imagine they're not having a good time out there. I know it is kind of the end of the semester, probably busy with school, but they are hopefully they're enjoying themselves and they're playing some close competitive games, so that's good to see as well. World Cup.
Okay, we're ready.
So pretend I haven't watched a single minute, which is almost true, but pretend I haven't watched a single minute and you're taking me, you're not just telling me all the scores and all the stats, but you're actually providing a little bit of a narrative for me, telling a story. Like I quoted Shakespeare at the beginning of this podcast. Bring me on an adventure in the football universe.
Okay, well, first I gotta say, me as a football fan, this is probably one of the World Cups with the most amount of surprises I have ever seen. It seems as though, if I'm not wrong, every single team has lost at least once. That means we're going to have someone that wins the World Cup and has lost at least one game. The bets that my friends have put down, the bets that I have put down, the games that I've played, trying to guess the scores, the first goal score, the goal difference. I mean, everything has gone down the drain since minute one. I mean, it's absolute chaos and I love it. It's the best World Cup I have ever seen. I have a lot of friends that are actually at Doha right now and they are going to the games and they are around the stadiums. And what they're saying is that what's fun about all of this, it's that it's everything concentrated in one single city. So he said it's like going to a Disney park and you have the Everest, Mountain Everest on your left. You have
Space Mountain
on the right. You have the castle in front of you. I mean, and he said everything is close. You grab a taxi and you're from the farthest stadium to the other side of the city in like 30 minutes fast. I mean, he said everything is clean. Everything works. Everything is technological. So basically the standards of how the World Cup was going to work, according to the people that are there and that I know, has absolutely overpassed what people were expecting. Everyone is having a great time, except for, I would say, my country, Ecuador. Ecuador, oh my God. I mean, I can start crying again if I talk about that game.
What game?
We won the first game. We made history by beating the hosts of the World Cup in the first game.
Qatar, right?
In the history of World Cups, like since 1930, when the first World Cup began, not a single host had lost the first game until this World Cup where Ecuador beat them 2-0. So I'm happy because of that. We played amazing against Netherlands. Everyone would say Netherlands was going to crush us. Who is Ecuador? No one knows Ecuador. Netherlands are almost runner-ups to become world champions. I mean, and we had a great game. We could have won that game. Sadly, football is football. The ball did not go in. We hit the post. The keeper was amazing. And then Senegal just had two lucky openings. We lost sight of the ball and got punished, lost 2-1. And it's crazy because Poland, who has worse stats than Ecuador, is through.
Worst record?
Like goal difference. I believe we tied in points, which was 4 points.
Yeah.
But Poland got a lot more goals against them. They passed because Argentina lost against Saudi Arabia, which was an absolute shocker. I mean, even now, it's amazing how people would say, well, football is just a sport. You have to pay attention to things that actually matter. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina 2-1, and it was so big that I believe it was the prince who said the next day was a holiday. And they declared national holiday just because they beat Argentina 2-1. Today, and as I told you while I was coming here and I was walking to the studio, Cameroon beat Brazil, and they are the first African nation ever to beat Brazil in the World Cup. And they scored a goal in the 92nd minute.
See how you said 92nd minute and not like the 8th minute? Like, I don't know.
Exactly. It's easier. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And, well, what most of you are supposed, I suppose you want to hear is about Canada. And if I were Canadian, I would be so proud about of my, oh my God. I mean, I saw your team and they were so young and they were so inexperienced when you talk about like international games, World Cups, playing against big, big teams. Your team, your group was, I mean, you had Croatia, who is the runners-up of 2018. You have Belgium, who lost to Croatia in 2018 in the semifinals. So you have Croatia, the second best in Russia. Belgium, the third best in Russia and the second best in the world. And then you have Canada, a team that hasn't classified to the World Cup in 36 years.
And who hasn't even scored a goal until...
They have not scored a goal until they played Croatia. I mean, I saw Canada as a team that many said Canada could be a surprise. And I gotta be honest, Canada did not have the team and the mentality that you need to actually play a good game and win points, because the World Cup is the World Cup. It's no nonsense. And Canada did an amazing job in the World Cup because they played without fear. Like normally, and you can see there's a video of the manager of Saudi Arabia when they were playing and they were losing 1-0 at halftime. They went to the dressing room and the guy was so pissed off. He is yelling at his team and he's saying, Messi grabs the ball and you're just standing still. Do you want to take a picture with him? Then go take a picture with him at the end of the game. You're going to play here and you're going to stand in this field and it's the World Cup and you're representing your country. Then you better go and break his legs. You got to do it for yourself. I mean, it's pride. It's the World Cup. Even if you're kicked out, you got to play. They went on. They beat Argentina 2-1. And that's what Canada did. They played against Belgium, who has Kevin De Bruyne, Lukaku, Trost. I mean, every single guy in that team is amazing in their Premier League team, in their Belgium, anywhere. And I saw that Canada deserved to beat Belgium. Belgium won 1-0 because Canada lost track of the ball in one opening. Like Ecuador, they lost it once. Koulibaly scored 2-1. That's it. Game's over. Canada had exactly the same thing. Croatia is Croatia. Croatia had Modric in the middle. You could overrun. It happens. I mean, Croatia is one of the best teams. They probably will go further up in the World Cup, up to quarterfinals, semifinals. They have a good team. But I loved how Canada played. I mean, I believe it was your newspapers that said Canada has big balls. Well, Canada actually has big balls, like, because there was some beef with Croatia, and let me tell you, your team has big balls. I mean, when you're hosting the World Cup here in 4 more years, I'm pretty sure Canada
we're hosting it.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
2026. It's Canada, USA, and Mexico.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So you talk a lot about this pride, this what do you call it? I don't want to call it nationalism. But this pride for your country, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a quick story about my firsthand experience about this pride that I saw among fans. So I had a friend up last weekend from Toronto, and she said, oh, let me take you out. A couple of my friends and I are going to watch the Croatia-Canada game at, what was that, Lobster Burger Bar, whatever, the place over near UW. So I said, okay, I'll come. Not a big soccer guy, but you know what, I'm going to partake in the festivities and I will watch the game. I get there. You know how Canada scored with, they scored in the first.
In the first 2 minutes or first minute, yeah.
These guys went absolutely insane. Like, I can't say some of the things on this show that they spoke about, but it was just, they were just elated. They were so euphoric. I couldn't even believe, I don't think I've ever gotten that excited about sports in my life. They were so amped when Davey scored that first mm-hmm. goal, that beautiful little cross to the header.
Yeah.
But it was so good to see because they did play such a good game against Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And then they I know there was a lot of crosses. They weren't able to kind of get it done.
Belgium had two shots, one on target, which was the goal.
Yeah.
Canada, I believe, had 20 shots and it was 14 on target, something like that. I mean, that's why it's football. It's just that one space that they, because the goal that Belgium scored against Canada was so bizarre. It was a long through ball. The two Canadian defenders look at the ball and it's like they don't know if they're going, if their partner is going, who, and it's very quick. It's 2 seconds and the game's over. So yeah, that's why I'm telling you Canada is amazing. And that, how you saying, how you get euphoric. I mean, I'm not Japanese, I'm not Canadian, I'm not Croatian, I'm Ecuadorian. Ecuador got eliminated. I screamed Costa Rica's goal when they were beating Germany 2-1. I was so happy to see that for 3 minutes. Japan and Costa Rica were classifying and Germany and Spain were going out of the World Cup. I mean, those were the 3 minutes of world peace, I believe. And everyone was so happy. Everyone was so in shock. Everyone could not believe what was going on. I saw a picture of a guy that as soon as the halftime whistle went in Germany and Spain's game, Spain was winning 1-0, Germany was winning 1-0, and he bet on Japan and Costa Rica. Costa Rica turned it around in the 71st, Japan turned it around in like 2 minutes as well, and he cashed it out. 2 minutes later, Germany tied the game.
Wow.
So it's... I have no words. I'm in love with this World Cup. I haven't missed a single game. I've woken up an entire week at 5 a.m. I don't know if you can see it, but I have...
You do look exhausted.
Black around my eyes. I'm in class, and even if I'm paying attention, I have an AirPod with the game on. I mean, I can't miss it. Amazing.
You've mentioned a couple times about maybe putting some money on games, and just from a liability standpoint... here at Radio Laurie, I just want to say the National Helpline for Gamblers, 1-800-522-4700. I just want to make sure we have all our bases covered. So gamble responsibly.
Remember, 98% of gamblers decide to quit before they become millionaires.
I don't know if the National Helpline supports that, but fair enough. Moving on. So now, what are we at the end of group play? Or are we entering into...
Group stage has just finished right now, today, with Brazil losing against Cameroon. Switzerland beating Serbia 3-2. There's a bit of historical context there between Serbia and Switzerland. So those games are always heated. I know at the end of those games, they got into a bunch of fights and pushing around.
But disparities.
Now, exactly. Now, tomorrow, Netherlands is going to play the USA. I believe that game is at 10 a.m. And Argentina will face Australia at 2 p.m. That would be the games of tomorrow for the first games of the round of 16.
Okay, we're going to do a little quiz here. Who's playing Monday?
Monday?
Yep, I got it in front of me here.
I have no idea.
Okay.
It would be Netherlands, USA, Argentina. What is it? Argentina, Australia. Then it's France, Poland.
Correct. That's Sunday, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then it's Croatia, Japan.
Croatia. That is correct. That's Monday at what time?
Croatia, Japan. That's 10 a.m.
Correct.
Then we have Portugal is playing Switzerland.
Well done.
Yes.
What else we got?
We have Morocco.
Yeah.
Who's Morocco playing? England is playing Senegal.
That's right.
Morocco is playing Brazil.
Oh, you said no.
No.
One more
what
guess here.
What am I missing? What am I missing?
One more guess. This is suspenseful. Producer Amelia is taking a look.
England is playing Senegal. USA. Croatia. Morocco is playing. It's Brazil, Switzerland. And I'm missing one. I know I'm missing one.
I'll give you the continent.
Okay.
Europe.
France, Portugal are in. Poland is in. Spain.
She got it. He got it.
That's okay. The one I'm missing. Now, Spain, Morocco.
Who's Brazil playing? This is the last matchup. This would be impressive.
Brazil is playing. They just classified, and they classified first. That means they play the second, and that would be
give you the continent.
Wait, no.
Okay.
I'm
checking his phone right now. I don't know if this is valid.
I want to see if it's Brazil, Cameroon. I don't know. I forgot.
Asia. Does that help?
Oh, Korea.
Yes, there we go. Yes, round of South applause. Korea. There you go.
I forgot Son had classified.
Okay, so Netherlands, United States. What do you like in that game?
2-0 Netherlands. I mean, the USA has a good team, but I don't know. Defensively, I think Netherlands can find a lot of spaces and holes in the USA team. The USA has more experience because they're almost at every World Cup, yet it's still a young team. A lot of their players are very young, like the Canadian team. They have a lot of 20-something years old. And like, for example, the Ecuadorian team. The Ecuadorian team was the youngest South American team in the entire eliminations and qualifiers for the World Cup. And you could see that's a lot of the experience that we were lacking in the World Cup. The only player that had been there in 2014 when we played in Brazil was our striker. And the rest of them were 20, 21-year-old guys who they played very well, but you could see are still missing that little bit of experience to actually play and manage the pressure of the World Cup.
Okay, next game we got here is Argentina-Australia. Argentina, of course, is the GOAT. Can I say that?
Of
is
course,
that okay?
Of course.
Just making sure. Portugal's in here too, so just checking. Argentina-Australia, who do you like?
As a football fan, because I see Australia there, I want Australia to play an amazing game. I want them to hold Argentina back. And I want them to lose that game so that Lionel Messi can go forward. Nevertheless, I want it to be those games that Australia loses it on the field, but it wins everyone's heart. Like, everyone supports Australia even though they lost the game. Yeah, I want it to be something like that.
And then we got Japan, Croatia. I imagine your selection is Croatia.
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I have no idea. Japan beat Spain. Japan beat Germany. And Japan lost against Costa Rica.
So as a responsible gambling man, you're not even putting any money on this game at all?
No,
don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole?
I know.
That's fair.
That's a game you have to watch it from afar. Take your cautions. I mean, because I really don't know what to expect with Japan in this World Cup. I saw that first game. Spain beat Costa Rica 7-0, and then Japan beat Germany 2-1. They play against Costa Rica. Everyone's saying, okay, Japan just beat Germany, and Costa Rica just lost 7-0 to Spain. I mean,
they must.
Japan's gonna win 3-0 at least.
I don't even know what happened.
Costa Rica won 1-0. And then Japan went and played against Spain, who beat Costa Rica 7-0, who beat Japan 1-0, and Japan beat Spain 2-1. So that's why I'm saying, I mean, Japan can lose that game 4-0 while at the same time win it 3-0, controlling everything, being the best team you have ever seen in the World Cup.
Being Croatia, the only team that I've watched other than Canada in this entire World Cup, I'm going to go with Croatia. I really like the way they play. They won 4-1.
They have a good team.
Yeah, they do. Brazil, South Korea, I would imagine would be Brazil, but they just lost to Cameroon, right?
Yes, although a lot of the things that people have to have in mind is, for example, Brazil today played with its second team. Brazil's second team is anyone's first team by, I don't know.
That was, I was unaware of that, for sure.
Yeah, but like, for example, I don't know, like, I wanna say the players exactly who they were that they're normally not playing or that didn't play the first two games, because that's where what a lot of countries do, because once you know you're out classified.
Have they already clinched?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They had 6 points, they know they were through. So majority of the teams, to give a chance to players that would normally not play in the World Cup because they are in the bench, they maybe some time. You give them that opportunity so that they can actually have the experience of playing in the World Cup.
Right.
So, I don't know who it was. A team that got eliminated played with its reserve. Brazil, and then you say reserve, but as I mentioned, a reserve for Brazil, it's Ederson, which is Manchester City's goalie. You have Dani Alves. You have Gabriel Jesus, who plays in the Premier League. Gabriel Martinelli plays in the Premier League. I mean, every single guy.
All household names in this country.
Yeah, every single guy that played today did not start the last two games. Every single player that starts today starts in their team in the Premier League, in La Liga, in France. I mean.
So Brazil is just sick.
Brazil has 26 players that are world stars in their teams.
Making it's millions
crazy.
Of dollars.
It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
France, Poland.
It's a tough game. France just lost to Tunisia.
They lost to Tunisia?
They lost to Tunisia 1-0.
That's pathetic.
So, I would give it to France.
Okay.
Because France is France, and I don't think they're going to bottle that up. It's the round of 16, but... Yeah, I mean, this World Cup is so full of surprises. It wouldn't be weird to see Japan beat Croatia. I don't know, Australia beat Argentina. Hopefully it doesn't happen because I actually want Messi to win the World Cup. But yeah, I mean, hopefully the surprises keep coming. I mean, I get sad and you might say, oh, it's so frustrating because I wanted this team to go through and it's messing my scores or whatever, but... At the same time, like, I have a game with my family. Every single World Cup, it's like 40 or 50 of us. And we guess the scores of every match. You get 6 points if you guess it correctly, 4 points if it's by the same goal difference, 0 points if you didn't get it.
Right.
And normally by this stage, I don't know, we would be at around 150, 200 points. And the first one of my family, like the one with the
most points,
I believe has 101.
Wow. So it's just been a wild.
And it's amazing. The first one has a difference of about 20 points. And it's the aunt that knows nothing about football. Everyone is in shock. Nobody's going to understand. She's Tia Lucia. We call her Tia Lucia. She's the typical Latin old... aunt. She loves Jesus. She reads the Bible. She watches the news every day at 6 p.m. sharp. She goes to bed early. She loves the Ecuadorian national team. And she's a very peaceful lady.
Tia Celia?
Tia Lucia.
Tia Lucia.
Tia Lucia. She knows nothing about football. And she said, I want to participate because I want to be part of the family. I want to talk with you guys. I know in the chat during this month, you're all talking a lot and having a good time. And we said, okay, fine. You can come in. You have to pay me the entrance, blah, blah, blah. Okay, perfect. The first day she put Ecuador 2-0, got 6 points. Everyone was like, oh my God, Tia Lucia, you're amazing. Yes, keep going. So on. And there was one game. It was the first surprise, Japan-Germany. She put Japan 2-0. And everyone started laughing. We were bullying her in the chat. I mean, Tia Lucia, come on. You got to pay attention to the stats. It's Germany. She got 4 points. I mean, we were all in and she was the only one that got points.
She talking everyone a lot of trash in the chat now?
Yeah. She's beating everyone up. No one can say a single thing to Tia Lucia because she is untouchable. I mean, it's this World Cup is the best thing that's ever happened to me as a football fan, I swear.
All right, back to Tia Lucia. I want her to win so bad now. Like, oh, you have no idea.
Yeah. And you can see the world table on the app, and it's like, I believe it's like 60K players. She's like number 13 or number 20, something like that. Yeah. She's at the ballin'. Top.
Wow.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And there's memes about this on the internet saying, the people who know about football in their apps, 0 points. The aunts who know nothing, 100 points. And yeah. We send her this and it's like, Tia Lucia, that's you. it's crazy.
All right, so let's run through these next three a bit quicker because I do want to get to a hypothetical. England, Senegal. Honestly, I didn't know Senegal was a country. If you ask me where it was, I don't know where it is.
Africa.
Okay.
Yes.
Who do you like?
They're the champions of Africa. Their goalkeeper plays in Chelsea. He's the actual, I believe so, yeah, the actual world best goalkeeper because he won the Club World Cup with Chelsea. He won the Africa Cup of Nations. He was, he became champion of Africa with Senegal. He qualified beating Egypt in the final. They qualified in the final beating Egypt. And It's amazing. They are playing good football without their main striker, which is Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane plays at Bayern Munich. He played at Liverpool with Salah. And he's an amazing, amazing player. I mean, I'm saying Ecuador lost 2-1 against Senegal because we got two seconds where the defenders lost sight of the ball. It bounced. He was alone. Boom. Scored. If Mane was playing that game, Ecuador would have lost 4-1. I mean, they had so many chances that they did not finish against us, against Netherlands, against Qatar. So they are missing a striker, and nevertheless, they still have good football. And on the other side, England is like a Japan Croatia. They can either beat Iran 6-2 or they can lose 1-0 because they just can't score. I mean, England is also a team that you don't know what can happen, but I would say England could win that game 1-0, 2-1, something like that.
Okay, so Nick likes England. We got Morocco, Spain.
I have no idea.
Okay, let's
move
on.
That one I have no idea.
Let's move on. Portugal, Switzerland.
I would want to say Portugal because Switzerland is...
Is Portugal a powerhouse this year? Or... Because I'll get on. My hypothetical was Argentina makes it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal makes it to the finals. What happens?
And it can happen.
It can happen.
It can happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm a storyline guy. I'm a headline guy. So I want to know if there's like a debate. If Ronaldo wins or Messi wins, what does that do to the GOAT debate? Like what happens? Or is Messi so... And there are Ronaldo fans out there, so it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But can this World Cup impact that?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. The only tournament that Cristiano has not won and that Messi has not won is the World Cup.
They both haven't won.
They have not won it. They have won... Cristiano Ronaldo won the Euros with Portugal. Lionel Messi won Copa America with Argentina. So they both have that title with their countries. They have a title. which is what they were missing. Because before, and it was recently, I believe Cristiano won the Euro in 2017, it might be, 2018, something like that. No, because 18 was the World Cup.
So 2016 he won.
16, okay. Yeah, so they won in 2016. And because Cristiano had a trophy with his country, it was said that Cristiano was better than Messi. Because Messi was lacking a trophy with Argentina. And through his entire career, Messi, the one thing that has affected his career or his way of playing is he has been missing a trophy with Argentina. Because he loves Argentina so much, he doesn't even care how many Ballon d'Ors he has, how many Champions League he wins. He doesn't care. He has said it 1,000 times. He could give everything away to win a title with Argentina. He said, I would give every single thing I have won to win something with Argentina. And one year ago, he won Copa America with Argentina, beating Brazil in the final. Everyone was absolutely in shock, amazed. I believe it became one of the most liked Instagram pictures when he posted that he became Copa America champion. I believe it was second after the famous World Egg.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And you forget about that thing sometimes.
And yeah, like now that the table has landed in as how it is right now, there is a possibility that in the final, Portugal meets Argentina, but that means Argentina beats Australia, then beats the Netherlands, and then beats in the semi-final either France or Brazil. That's Messi's girlfriend, Antonella. Antonella Roccuso.
Wow.
They've been together since, I believe it was school years, since he was like 15, 16.
And he's got I'm looking at his Instagram now, he's got a couple little boys too.
Yeah.
Are they soccer stars?
The oldest, I believe he is. He plays a lot. Their names are Thiago.
This would be impressive if you knew.
Oh, yeah. It's Thiago. It's...
Oh. Another Google search.
I forgot the other two.
Messi children.
Yeah. Oh, and if you want to have a laugh with them, you have to look up Messi children being funny or funny moments with Messi's sons or something like that. Because there's the little guy. He loves to be against his... Sorry? Ciro. Yes, Ciro. That's an Italian name. Ciro.
And Mateo.
And Mateo, yes. Thiago, Ciro, and Mateo. But yeah, the little guy, the youngest of Messi's sons, he loves to go against Messi. So when Messi plays, I don't know, Real Madrid, he would put on a Real Madrid shirt, a Cristiano Ronaldo Real Madrid shirt.
Interesting.
Yeah, if he plays Liverpool, he would put on a Liverpool shirt. And it's just to make Messi mad. I mean, he loves to joke with his father, so he's joking with the best football player for me, the best football player in history.
You can say it, undisputed.
Yeah, exactly. He's the GOAT. He's messing with him, saying, "Hey, Dad, I hope you don't score today." I mean, yeah, that kid's gonna go far, for sure. But yeah, I mean, after Ecuador got beaten and got eliminated from the World Cup, I gotta admit it was a pretty dark day. Nevertheless, Argentina won the next day, so we were a little bit more at ease.
Yeah.
Hopefully Messi can lift that trophy. And as you were saying, because I went on and didn't even answer your question, whoever wins the World Cup will be, and most even say, because most say Messi is probably the best in the world, but not in history. Many argue that best in history would be Pelé, which is a Brazilian player. Maradona, Argentinian player. But that is because they won the World Cup. Pelé won the World Cup many times. And he scored 2 goals in the final at 17 years old. I mean...
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pelé is amazing. He played the World Cup when he was 17. He's the youngest goal scorer at a World Cup. And he scored against, I believe it was Switzerland or Sweden in the final.
Oh, Pelé's old. He's 1958 FIFA World Cup.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's some prodigy stuff.
So many would argue Pelé is the best in history, Maradona is the best in history, but now every single record that can be held by a football player has Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo written. So the only thing they are missing to actually put their name in every single thing is the World Cup. That's why they say if Cristiano wins it, Cristiano said, if I win the World Cup with Portugal, I am retiring as soon as the final whistle blows.
Really?
I am not playing football again. That's what he said. And Lionel Messi said if he wins the World Cup, he will retire at the end of this year.
Ronaldo's a lot older than I thought. So Messi's 35 and Ronaldo's 37.
Yeah.
I could have swore Ronaldo was younger.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure if Messi wins the World Cup, which he has a lot of chances of doing it, well, I would say as well as Ronaldo, because they both have a good team. And at the same time, it's a team that can lose a game and surprise everyone. Today, Portugal lost against South Korea. And they were playing really bad. I mean, they did not control the game. They were not very dangerous. Because you see the names, the players they have in their squad, and you expect Portugal to beat South Korea 3-0. I mean, they have amazing, amazing players. But, I don't know, it's like a lack of... I don't know if team spirit or connection or something, but it's the same that has been happening with Argentina for years. The many say it's a lot of egos.
They struggle to come together and play as one unit.
And to create a team, it's too hard.
Yep.
So, yeah, I believe that's the problem with Portugal and Argentina now, because they have a lot of strong names, but they don't actually deliver the amazing football. Argentina has. They came to the World Cup without losing a game for 36 games. They had a 36 unbeaten run.
Wow.
And nevertheless, they lost the first game against Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, I mean, it's anything can happen. Again, it's in this World Cup. Don't be surprised if the final is Morocco-Japan.
Wow. Well, everyone, fasten your seatbelts. You heard it here first. Nicholas says this is going to be a wild ride. Sweet 16 run. Let's see what happens. And before we close things off, I just have one last thing to say. Hero World Challenge happening this weekend. Tiger Woods hosting his event, obviously. He did not look good. I got to be honest. He was limping around. He was supposed to play. He said he formed some sort of plantar fasciitis in his ankle. And I was like, Tiger, what the... Like, why are you putting me through this? Anyway, so he can hit a golf ball. He just cannot walk. I can hit any shot. He says, I can hit any shot you want. I just can't walk. I was like, well, that's a problem, Tiger, because you need to be able to walk.
There's golf carts.
He says he won't take a golf cart. So this is an interesting story. Casey Martin was a team member of his at Stanford. And Casey had something wrong with... he had some sort of muscle development issues or something where he couldn't walk a full golf course. So a case went to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. That ruled on whether or not he was allowed to take a golf cart on the PGA Tour. But before this happened, and eventually they ruled that he was able to take a golf cart, but before this happened, they interviewed the players, mm-hmm. and Tiger Woods voted against his teammate, Casey Martin, as to if Casey was allowed to take a golf cart. Tiger's a pretty vicious, like, he's a competitor. So Tiger said, on the PGA Tour, I will not take a golf cart. So, Tiger, figure out how to walk. I need you back. PNC Championship coming up. That's obviously
how old is Tiger Woods?
Tiger is 45. I should know this.
I thought he was a lot older. He's not.
He is not that old. He's 45 or 46. His birthday's coming up on February.
How old? Or what is the oldest PGA player in golf is right now?
Yeah, he's 46. His birthday's on December 30th. Oldest PGA player. It's not even about how old you are. It's about how can your body maintain what golf has to offer. And although we make fun of it a lot, it is, for certain parts of the body, it is pretty physically demanding. But the PNC Championship coming up, that's the one he plays with his son. I don't know if you've seen videos of that.
Yeah.
And then he also has the match, which is with Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy. So we're set to see a lot of Tiger Woods in the future. I'm probably his biggest fan. So let's give him our best wishes. Life decisions are a bit questionable, but we don't care about that. Let's just do our best, Tiger Woods. And anything else to say, Nicholas?
No. Hopefully, Lionel Messi lifts the trophy. That's the only thing I want to say. Now that Ecuador is out.
Oh, and Tia Lucia. Hopefully she wins.
Hopefully Tia Lucia.
I'm cheering for her.
Hopefully Tia Lucia keeps on winning.
We'll send an update.
Whatever she puts down as a score, I'll let you know so that you can
so you can know what
team's gonna go through to the next round.
Awesome. Signing off for now. This has been Talk the Hawk. Last episode of the semester. We'll see you back in the new year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
Peace out. Happy holidays.
Bye, everyone.
I'm Catholic.